Title: Sub and Kick Balance, Using Arrangement View Intermediate. Alright, let's get your drum and bass low end behaving like a team. Kick and sub working together across the whole arrangement, not just sounding good in an 8-bar loop. Because in DNB, kick and sub are the power couple. When they fight, you lose weight, you lose headroom, and the track stops translating on real systems. The goal today is simple: a kick that punches and speaks, a sub that holds the room, and a workflow and arrangement view that keeps that relationship consistent through drops, fills, switch-ups, and that one weird bar you always forget to check. Here's what we're building by the end: a kick that hits with authority around the punch zone, think 90 to 150 Hz, without smearing the sub. A sub that dominates the true low region, roughly 35 to 60 Hz, and stays stable across the song. And a clean way to automate sub-level and ducking so the low end stays controlled when the arrangement density changes. Let's start with session prep, because this is where people accidentally sabotage themselves. First, set a sensible level target early. While you're building the low end, keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB. No limiter yet. If you're already smashing the master, you won't be able to tell whether your low end is powerful or just loud. Now create three tracks, one called Kick, one called SUB, and one audio track called LOW Bus. Route both Kick and SUB into LOW Bus, and then LOW Bus goes to the master. The reason is simple: you get one fader and one processing chain that controls the entire low-end system. It's like a master remote for your weight. Cool. Now we make the sub pure and predictable. On the SUB track, the cleanest starting point is operator with a sine wave. Keep it boring. Boring is good down here. Set the amplitude envelope with a release that doesn't smear into the next note. Try somewhere like 120 to 250 milliseconds, and you'll adjust depending on the pattern. If your bassline is fast and noisy, you may need shorter. If it's more sustained, you can go longer. Now add devices on SUB in this order. First, EQ8. High pass the sub at about 25 to 30 Hz. You're not removing bass, you're removing useless rumble that eats headroom and doesn't translate musically. If you hear a nasty resonance, often around 45 to 55, you can do a tiny dip. Tiny means tiny. 1 to 2 dB kind of tiny. Next, add utility. Turn bass mono on, and collapse the width below around 120 Hz. The sub should be dead center. Keep the utility gain at 0 for now. We'll stage later. The goal right now is a sub that's clean, centered, and consistent. Now shape the kick so it doesn't double book the same low frequencies as the sub. On the kick track, at EQ8, if your sub is your main low source, which is typical for rolling DNB, try a gentle low shelf down on the kick below around 50 to 70 Hz, just 1 to 3 dB. That small move can stop the kick tail from stepping on the sub fundamental. If your kick sample is super subby, you've got a decision to make: either let the kick own some of that low area and move the sub higher or make it more harmonic, or trim the kick lows and let the sub own the floor. What you don't want is both of them swinging hard in the same 40 to 60 zone. After EQ, add saturator for punch and translation. Soft sine or analog clip are great. Drive around 1 to 4 dB, but here's the rule: match the output so it's the same loudness bypassed. You're adding harmonics and density, not winning my volume. Target vibe: the kick reads on smaller systems because it has punch and harmonics, and the sub holds the room, because it owns the true low energy. Now, we set the actual low end rule, on purpose. Option A, the most common rolling DNB setup: sub owns 35 to 60 Hz. Kick is emphasized more around 90 to 150. Kick gets a shelf or cut below around 60-ish depending on the sample. Option B, more kick-led, like some jump-up or super punchy styles: kick owns around 50 to 80. Sub sits a bit higher, like 55 to 90, or it's harmonically rich, and you usually duck the sub harder. Pick one. The mix gets easier the moment you commit. Next, sidechain that stays consistent across the arrangement. On the SUB track, add Ableton's compressor after EQ8. Turn sidechain on, and set Auto from to your kick track. Choose Pre-FX as a safe default, because it gives a consistent trigger even if you change the kick processing later. Set ratio to 4:1. Attack fast, around 0.3 to 3 milliseconds. You want it to catch the conflict without making clicks. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. At about 174 BPM, something like 80 to 110 often feels rolling and musical. If it's too short, it can chatter. If it's too long, it can feel like the sub is missing. Now adjust threshold so you get around 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction per kick. Here's an important mindset shift. Sidechain follows your kick pattern automatically across the arrangement, which is great, but the amount of ducking that feels perfect in a stripped section might be too little in a busy drop or too much in a breakdown. That's where arrangement view becomes the real weapon. Now we move into the heart of the lesson, arrangement view automation. First, hit it to show automation lanes. We're going to automate utility gain on the SUB track, not the track fader.
Why?
Because it's cleaner, it's repeatable, and you still keep the fader free for actual mixing decisions later. Start with a super practical move, fill control. In the last beat before a new phrase, dip the sub by 1 to 3 dB. That tiny dip is like punctuation. You're creating contrast so the next downbeat hits harder, without adding energy to the master. It's one of the best bigger drop tricks that doesn't cost headroom. Also automate sub-level for moments where the kick drops out, or where the bass suddenly feels too exposed. Sometimes, when the kick disappears, the sub feels like it's naked and too loud. A small dip keeps the groove controlled. And if you want a touch more impact at the start of the drop, try a subtle lift on the sub, like plus 0.5 to plus 1 dB for the first bar. Subtle. If you do too much, it just turns into mud and robs headroom. Next automation. Sidechain depth per section. On the SUB compressor, automate threshold. That's the most common control, because it directly changes how much ducking happens. In the main drop, especially if there are big re-SEs and lots of mid-bass energy, you might want 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. In breakdowns or atmospheric sections, more like 1 to 3 dB so the sub feels continuous and emotional rather than choppy. Think like a mixer. You're not trying to make one perfect setting. You're trying to make each section feel equally powerful. Third automation move, kick weight when the arrangement changes. When you add rides, breaks, extra percussion, the mix can feel louder in the low mids and suddenly your low end feels crowded. That's the moment to automate either utility gain on the kick or a small kick EQ move. Often, pulling the kick down by just half a dB to 1.5 dB in the busiest sections keeps the master from overloading and keeps the groove clean. And when you go to a stripped section or halftime, you may bring it back up slightly. Now, a huge one that people skip, phase and alignment. If kick and sub are misaligned, you can EQ forever and never get the weight back. Fast sanity check. On the SUB track, insert utility and try phase invert. Start by inverting both left and right. Choose whichever position gives you the most solid, least hollow low end. This doesn't fix timing, but it reveals whether you've got destructive interaction. Better method. Timing alignment. Zoom into the waveform around the first kick transient. Then try track delay on the SUB. In Ableton, use track delay and try tiny values like plus or minus 1 to 10 milliseconds. And I'll be real with you. Sometimes plus or minus 0.5 to 2 milliseconds is the magic. Track delay is a hidden low-end fader. It can turn where did my bass go? Into O, there it is, without changing meter as much. Do this at normal volume, then also recheck quietly. Quiet checks are brutal in a good way. Now let's set up a gentle LOW bus chain for glue and safety. Gentle is the word. Don't overcook it. On low bus, at EQ 8, high pass at 25 to 30 Hz, 24 dB per octave, to remove rumble. Optionally, if things feel boxy, do a tiny dip around 200 to 300 Hz. Fractional dB moves can matter here. If you want glue, add glue compressor. Ratio 2:1, attack 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. If you're clamping more than that, something upstream is too hot. Optional. A limiter at the end just as a safety net. Ceiling minus 0.8. It should barely touch. If it's working hard, don't celebrate, fix the balance. Now metering and reality checks. Put spectrum on LOW bus. You're looking for stable sub energy in that 35 to 60 area, and controlled kick energy above it. You're not trying to draw a perfect curve, you're checking consistency between sections. Optional but useful. Put tuner on the SUB track and make sure your sub is actually hitting the intended note. Off-key subs happen more than people admit, and it can make the low end feel wrong even if it's loud. Now do a mono check. Put utility on the master temporarily and set width to zero. If your low end collapses, gets weird, or loses impact, revisit mono compatibility and any stereo bass layers. Your sub should survive mono like it's nothing. Now I want to add a coach move that'll save you hours, the calibration bar. Pick one bar in your main drop, usually the first bar, and make that your reference bar. Get the kick and sub feeling perfect right there. That's your this is what correct feels like moment. Then your job is not to reinvent the mix every 8 bars. Your job is to match everything else to that reference using automation. Another mindset upgrade, separate impact from sustain. In DNB, the first 30 to 80 milliseconds after the kick is the money moment. If the sub masks that moment, you'll keep turning the kick up and run out of headroom. Often a tiny fast duck, like 1 to 2 dB more, beats big EQ moves. You're clearing a moment, not carving a cannon. Also, don't trust spectrum alone. Use short loops inside arrangement view. Loop, just the fill bar. Then just the first bar of the drop. Then the busiest bar of the phrase. Those are your stress tests. A couple advanced options you can try once the basics are working. 1. A parallel knock layer for kick translation. Create a return track called knock. Send a little kick to it. On that return, high pass around 120 to 180 Hz, so you're not touching subspace. Then add saturator or drum bus to generate harmonics. Maybe a tiny room reverb if you want size, super low in level. Blend it until you miss it when it's gone, but you don't really notice it when it's on. That's the sweet spot. 2. Dual band ducking conceptually. Keep your clean sub mostly steady, and duck your low mid bass layer harder, especially around 120 to 300 where clutter often lives. That keeps the weight while clearing punch. 3. If your kick is boomy and long, shorten the tail. In arrangement view, add a fade out on the kick clip or tighten it with gating or envelope shaping. A long kick tail plus a sustained sub is overlap city. Tighten the kick, and you can relax your ducking and keep the groove calmer. Now let's do the mini practice, because this is where the skill locks in. Make a 32 bar drop in arrangement view. Bars 1 to 16 are full drop. Bars 17 to 24 are a busy variation. Add rides, break edits, extra percussion, whatever. Bars 25 to 32 are fill heavy toward the phrase ending. Now automate two things. On sub, automate utility gains so you dip about 2 dB on the last beat of every eighth bar. That's your phrase turnaround punctuation. This audio version is shortened for playback.